well in this current hour. We've just been talking about dyslexia. For the full hour, we're lucky enough to have two specialists. We have Dr. Rudolf Stockling, Clinical Director and Senior Educational Psychologist at the Lexicon Reading Centre. And we've just been running through the actual what is dyslexia in the past 10 minutes or so. But also we have Liz Fenwick, who's a novelist who is dyslexic and is happy to share her experiences and advice. As we said earlier, one of her children has dyslexia as well. And we were talking about that journey, weren't we, Liz? Because I was just thinking, you know, people assume dyslexia is maybe a big negative. You know, somebody gets the diagnosis, your child is dyslexic, they maybe panic.
Yes, there's definitely panic. I mean, when we discovered my eldest son, Dominic, was dyslexic, there wasn't necessarily panic in that because I'm dyslexic and my husband is as well. But there's a whole different way of thinking that comes into discovering that your child is not what you thought they were. You know, all that hope and love that you've given to somebody, and you just think of all this potential, and then suddenly they're struggling. And you as a parent think, what can I do to help? And you have to adjust your whole way of thinking because I, as a dyslexic myself, had to overcome those issues, but they weren't as great as it turned out that my son had to overcome. I was always a very strong student despite my dyslexia, as was my husband. But the further along Dominic got in school, the more his difficulty became apparent and the more struggling. And, you know, I, who had been pretty much an A student, was looking at D's. And less and on the achievement side of things, and I had to have a huge mind shift to say, well, what's really important here? It's not the achievement necessarily for him that's important, it's the effort that he puts in. And once I made that shift, then it made the whole situation much easier. I had to work with him a tremendous amount, and I totally believed in him, but I had to reset my own goals, because at one point I had a headmaster telling me my son was stupid. And because of that, you take a step back. I mean, obviously you want to kill the man, but at the same time, you think, well, maybe he can't do what I'd always dreamt he would do. And you have to revise your thinking on that, and you have to plan for how to encourage your child to be the best that they can be when you're not sure what that can be.
Yeah, exactly. And it's the fear of the unknown, like with anything in life. And Dr. Rudolf Stockling, I'm just wondering, you know, obviously you see this all of the time. What would your advice be to parents when they first receive that diagnosis? What, you know, presumably give them an action plan, and, you know, how can you comfort them, but get them through that initial shock?
Well, dyslexia has become more accepted as something children have, which has nothing to do with their other abilities. So it's a little bit easier to talk to parents now than it was even a few years ago. But the first thing I do is I take off my glasses and I look outside. I work on the tower in Chimera Lake Towers, and I look out and say, if anybody asks me to say what color the truck is down there, I cannot tell you because I don't wear glasses. If I wear the glasses, I can tell you it's a green truck. And the same thing is true with dyslexia. If you don't get support, then it will be a major problem. But if you're actually getting support, and if you do the things which help you to deal with your dyslexia, to learn in your own way, then it will not be a major difficulty.
And I think that's the key thing. You know, we're all frightened of things we don't know. So if somebody does have an inkling that maybe their child could be suffering, you know, how do they go about being tested in the UAE?
There are different ways of assessing for dyslexia. Now, what we are doing is by looking at the whole child. Firstly, looking at their general strengths and weaknesses, making a cognitive profile. What is their memory like? What is their processing speed like? What is their language ability like? What is their visual perceptual ability like? What are their strengths and weaknesses? And then we look, what are they actually doing when they're trying to read and write? Are they trying to remember words? Are they using their visual memory and not their memory? memory for sounds? Are they connecting words immediately with meaning, or are they translating them into sound? So there are various areas which we are looking at, and we come out with a profile of a child with strengths and weaknesses. The overall ability is not the most important thing, because that is actually to a great extent changeable and also environment dependent. What is important is the child's particular strengths and weaknesses, their learning style, and how to help them.
Yeah, and how did you find that, Liz? You know, you got the diagnosis, as you said, you had an idea about the disease, but it's still your child.
It's still my child. Getting the diagnosis and getting one that I could understand and talk it through with somebody who understood it, who looked at the results of all the varying tests, and, you know, some things were literally off the scale, he was so good at them, and other things were virtually falling off the other end of the scale. So for me, it was somebody saying to me, this child will achieve as soon as he drops the subjects that hold him back. You have got to get him through to that point. So for him, it was getting him through GCSEs and onto his A levels. And once he hit that point, he soared, because then he was dealing with things he was strong at. Mm. And that what a report gives you is it shows you where their gifts are. And as a parent, that's what you need to focus on. You need to hold their hand to get them through the things they have to do, like learning how to read, because they're not going to get anywhere if they don't cross that barrier. And once they do, you have to help them fly.
Yeah. And in a way, as you say, you know, people think of something like dyslexia and they only think of the negative. They think of, like you said, the wearing of the glasses, you know, the fact you can't see rather than you can see with support. And in a way, if you have that diagnosis, you get to know what your child's strengths is. And, you know, we all, even as a pair, you know, as an adult, I'd love to know what somebody externally to tell me what my strengths are and be able to channel that. So there could be a positive side to this.
There's a huge positive side to it, because I have three children. My eldest one is dyslexic. It was always clear, because of his strengths, he was going to go towards the mathematical. So he was going to do engineering or architecture or go into pure maths. His brother, who's 2 years younger, is good across the board. We're facing A levels with the end of A levels and still don't know where he's going. Yeah. And same with his sister. So it is a gift in a way that you don't expect.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it is interesting, as you're saying, you know, Dr. Rudolph, it's not all negative. Of course it's not. And you get to see very talented individuals.
Certainly. And what Liz is saying about that school is actually, for most people with dyslexia, by far the most difficult time in life. And I often explain to parents, look what they're doing. For example, the child is really creative, really good at drawing. And Liz being a novelist, we have some children who are brilliant, gifted in language, and still have this particular problem with reading and writing. So your child has dyslexia. It does not even mean they will be doing something which is not related to language. They may actually become journalists or writers if their dyslexia is treated the right way and if they get during schooling the support so that they don't develop a negative self-image. And I fully agree that getting them through these years of schooling until they choose their own direction, this is the most important part.
So how should people do that if they're listening and saying, oh, more colourful in the different elements of dyslexia? But let's just talk about that support. We've said support in Dubai. But what can be done to help a child early on? They have to tackle a broad range of topics to get to, say, O levels or GCSEs. What can be done to help parents get through that difficult time?
As a parent, for me, the most important thing is to keep the child's confidence levels up. And it was another expat parent when we were in Jakarta before we came here, who was a teacher who wasn't teaching. And it was becoming apparent at that point that Dominic's dyslexia was really going to be an issue. And she said, I don't want to tutor him in reading or anything else. I want to boost him in what he's good at. So out of off her own back, because she took to him, she would tutor him in maths, his biggest strength, to build up his confidence in something. So through all this trouble, he could always hold on to the one gift he had that would pull him through, while it was the mother, me, who was left battling with the reading and the writing and everything else until we could get the support that we needed.
Yeah, I fully agree again with what you're saying. And as a psychologist, I'm both looking at the emotional and personal side as well as the purely development of skills side, and this is very important. At the same time, it is essential that we use what we now know about dyslexia to teach the child in a way that they will learn to read. For example, at Lexicon Reading Center, we use a multi-sensory simultaneous approach where the child does a number of activities at the same time. They learn how to feel the sounds in the word, they learn how the movements of the letters go with the sounds, and they learn the visual picture. So they use all their senses, we use their kinesthetic movement memory to make up for some weaknesses in some other memories, and this is really what works. So, and in the same time, the Slingerland approach we're using at the Lexicon Reading Center is very analytical. So if you have a child who is very good at analyzing, and they can get like a puzzle how each word consists of vowels, consonants, their patterns of vowels, patterns of consonants, patterns of letters that go together, their rules governing all of this. So they learn how to read and write by following a multisensory and rules-based way, and that has been proven that it works.
Yeah.
So usually after a very short period, the self-esteem of children who feel that they have failed improves drastically, because now they look at the word. Instead of saying the letters are jumbled, they all dance out of the page, they say, okay, what are the syllables there? Where are the vowels in this word? How do the other things fit around that? And then they say from I can't read, within a few months usually I can read.
So it becomes like a more of a word puzzle rather than something
yes.
negative. Well, we will certainly be continuing on this, because we have Carol who's texted in asking about the difference between particular disorders and dyslexia. So we will come back to that in just a moment, Carol. And interesting what you were talking about, kinesthetic and sensory, because and sensory and audio and visual, because that's very much in mainstream education as well as the moment for children, even if they don't have dyslexia.